love. We thank you,
Lord.
Love
Talk Radio.
We thank you, Almighty God, because you're awesome. You are awesome, Lord. You are awesome, God. We thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Let us go before him real quick and under our breath, just ask him to forgive us our sins. It will make no sense if everything the pastor will say today, everything, every ministration today will just fall on the ground for free. So let us ask him for forgiveness. According to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah, Lord. That we ask you, God, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord God, what we have done against you, in thought, in deed, and in word, Father, we ask, oh God, for your cleansing power. Thank you, Lord God, what we said against each other, knowingly or unknowingly, oh God. Father, we ask, oh God, for your forgiveness. Father, in the same manner, Lord, we begin to release somebody who has sinned against us, somebody who has hurt us terribly. Father, we begin to release them right now. We begin to release them, Father. We begin to release them, Father, Lord. Father, we pray, oh God, that our blessing, our salvation will not be put on something somebody did. We release them now as individuals, as a family, and as a church. Father, we begin to release, oh God, and we ask, oh God, for your forgiveness upon their lives and your blessing upon their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now just invite the power of the Holy Spirit to take total control of the service. We are not here to say what man says, but we are here to say what God says. Let us pray that we'll be power of the Holy Ghost. Let us invite him into this place in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you for the gift of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit.
Thank you. I'm Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you. very joyful. Why? Because, not because people are dying, of course, death is not a new thing. Is it a new thing to anybody here? No, it's not. But at the same time, when somebody dies, we still have to grieve, we still have to mourn, we still have to feel the pain because the person is not here anymore. But there is a difference between us who probably have a little bit of knowledge and those who have no knowledge at all. Meaning, what am I talking about? I'm not saying that death does not have the same ways with us as it has with other people. But with us, we know that if you are in Christ, then certainly we're going to meet you somewhere. Is that accurate? Amen? That is why, though we mourn the absence of the person, the fact that we're not going to see them anymore, but we know that certainly if they have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will be in a better place. So at the same time, while we're crying and we're feeling bad, at the same time, behind the dark cloud, there is a glimpse of light. Does somebody understand what I just said? Amen? So we lost a brother, and we've gone through this several times. But we know for sure that God has a better plan for him. Amen? Than the plan that anybody else can have. And Paul was writing to this church in Thessalonians, and he told them that don't just mourn like people who are ignorant. Mourn like people who have hope. That everyone who sleeps in Christ shall rise again. And obviously we have a young man who this week, actually Friday more precisely, breaking Saturday, we had a call that he died. Because I can't say he killed himself or they killed him because I don't have the facts. As a pastor, I have to give very accurate facts, amen? So the thing is still under investigation, but it's a young, handsome, clean English, well-spoken, very intelligent young man in a very prestigious university. And he's no more with us. All we have to do now is to pray for the family and pray that the truth about his death should come out. Praise the Lord. Not that it's going to change anything, but at least it's going to give the parents some reason to hold on to. And it's a wake-up call for every one of us who lives their life anyhow. Anytime there's an occasion like this, it gives us a reason to reflect on our own lives. Amen? It gives us a reason to reflect on our own lives. It gives us the time to have an encounter, not with God, but with yourself. And begin to ask yourself, what is life? Is it worth living? Is it worth living it anyhow? Prior to that last part, is it worth living it anyhow? I'm not saying the young man died because he lived anyhow. No, but death is death. It's going to show up. You like it or not, your blue, black, gray, yellow, orange. You have a degree or not. It's irrelevant. You go to the university, it's irrelevant. You were born in Nigeria, you were born in Cameroon, in Ghana, wherever. Death will surely come. So this is a time for us to reflect and to be ambassadors of hope. Because as a pastor, sometimes you go to places where people, like, for example, yesterday we were at the police practically all through the day. And as a pastor, at the same time, you want to feel what the family is going through, and you want to tell them the truth about the future. And every one of us are called to be an ambassador of hope at a time like this. Not ignoring the fact that the family is grieving, but at the same time, grieving with them and telling them that there is a better life ahead. Amen? So my prayer is that God will give you the grace in a time like this to be a light in the middle of darkness, to be an encouragement, to give you words that will lift somebody up. Because what I've noticed for all these years, when something happened to call me as a pastor, sometimes people just want to hear that it's going to be okay. Amen? So let us put this family in prayer. And we're going to bow our heads and pray for one prayer. Just one prayer right now. And that prayer is that the reason what happened to this young man, nobody knows yet. And the fact that this young man was coming to this church, as a matter of fact, it was a couple of weeks that I lost an uncle and I was there. He was the one putting the Christian music and everything. And I had an opportunity to talk with him not long ago. I believe that he had given his life to Christ. And the fact that there is this confusion, one claim is he killed himself, another claim is that there was something going on that they're trying to hide or whatever that might be. I want us to pray. We have a God that is omnipresent. And the Bible says there is no peace for the wicked. Amen? So we're going to pray and let the truth be known. And if there's anybody out there that the investigators or the police or whoever, they're human, they're limited. But the Holy Ghost, will trouble every heart so that let the truth come out. Dress, if you cannot go, the Holy Ghost will go. Doors you cannot open, the Holy Ghost will open. Fires you cannot open, the Holy Ghost will go in. Because this family, they are desperate for an answer. It's not just something you wake up in the morning. As I was talking to the police officer, I said, this is not a speeding ticket we are arguing for. It's the death of a 20-year-old man. We got to take it serious. So I want you to pray right now. Say, Father, let the truth be known. Let it be exposed so all of us we can know the truth. Let us pray in the name of Jesus as a congregation. Let us pray. Just pray. Pray in your heart. Pray in your own way. Just pray. This is the best gift this family asked me this morning to ask the church. Father, we pray for the truth. You said the truth will set us free. You said the truth will liberate us. You said the truth would liberate us. Father, we pray that wherever the truth is concerning the death of this young man, we pray, oh God, if there was anybody involved, let him come forward and let him confess. Let there be no peace. If there was somebody else, if there was anybody else that contributed to this, Father, as a congregation, as a people, as a community, we cry out to you for justice. We cry out to you, God, for the truth, oh Father. For this family, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray that you will do something. Touch the hearts of the police. Give them the wisdom. Give them the questions to ask so that we can get to the bottom of this, Father. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. We're going to pray again for this family. I know some of us might not pray very hard because we have not been there. But if you've been there, you understand what I'm talking about. If you have ever carried a child for 9 months, take them through kindergarten, take them through everything, and then when their feet is about to get to the ground, they exit, you understand what I'm talking about. I want us to pray for strength. Because when things like this happen, the enemy comes in and begins to accuse this person. If only you could have been a good mother, if only you could have been a good father, maybe if they are calling the day before, all these accusations, the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. But we want to pray for God's strength, understanding, session. Let everything kick in now because they need it. They need favor before the authorities. They need favor. They need financial breakthrough even to take care of this man. He died already. Let us begin to pray in the name of Jesus for strength, for strength, for strength. Particularly the mother, because she needs more strength than anybody else. We pray for strength, oh God. We pray for strength. Somebody pray. Somebody help me pray this morning. Give them a gift of prayer. Give them a gift of prayer. Call upon the name of the Lord on their behalf this morning. Father, we say strength. Strength, oh God. Strength, oh God. Strength, oh God. In the name of Jesus, strength, oh God. Strength, oh God. Save our sister for strength. In the name of Jesus, release your strength, oh God. Release your anointing. Release your wisdom. Release your presence. Release, oh God, this morning. They need you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. We're going to pray for the last thing that needs favor. Because we have no connection here. Some of us are connected to lawyers and all kinds of people. But their only connection is God. Their only connection is God. We're going to pray for divine favor. Divine favor. Divine favor. Divine favor. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask for your favor upon this family. Favor upon this family, Lord.
Same way with the hospital people. Same way with the transportation. Same way with everything. Same way with the ladies. Same way with everybody that's going to be involved. Same way with the people in this community, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says, happy are those who mourn for the shadow of. We're going to pray for that invisible hand. Because if you've been in this situation before, see, maybe you are visiting today, and you say, oh, they take a whole service to pray for one person. Yes, that's what we do here best. Because when one of our persons is down, we don't care. We got to pray for them. We have to be with them. And that's why you cannot afford to let the enemy do anything to this ministry. Did you hear what I said? If one of us is down, we're going to go and we're going to support you. We're going to pray for you. Father, we want to pray for our sister. This is the only son. But I believe that God will give her many more. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. I believe that God will give her many more. I want us to pray for supernatural comfort. You know, when everybody comes and says sorry and they leave, that is where reality sets in. When you go to his room and you don't find him. Okay? That's where reality sets in. So I want us to pray for supernatural comfort. That the angels of God, in that very difficult moment, will come down, will rest on our shoulder, will rest all over her, and will take care of her. And that she will not develop anything as a result of this. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask for comfort. We ask you to comfort her, O God. Yes, Lord, we ask you to comfort her. Give her a reason to hope again. Give her a reason to hope again. Give her a reason to believe in you. Give her a reason, O God, to believe in you. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray on that word which I know you to comfort her. Lord, you whisper to her. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask for your comfort this morning. In the name of Jesus, we worship you. We give you praise, glory, and adoration. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God for the prayer session. And we're going to make their numbers available so that you can call them and encourage them. If you can't go there, just a phone call will do it. Sometimes text is even better. Because sometimes some people cannot talk. And please say something to Christians here. Crying is okay. Amen? It is okay to cry. It is okay. So please don't go and say, oh, you don't have faith now, you know. She's crying because you don't have faith. No, that's not the point. Well, Lazarus died. Jesus had faith. Yes, he did. But the Bible says he did what? He wept. Because he had lost somebody very important. Praise the Lord. We're going to get into the word today. It's going to be very brief. I see, I perceive a woman of God springing in. I saw her. Where is she? Oh, she's Diana, how are you? Can we welcome her? Put your hands together for her. Amen. Praise the Lord. I made sure that I see, and then I looked at the daughter. I saw it was area. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today we want to talk about trials. Amen? Trials. I want to talk about trials. As I began to pray, the Lord to talk about this. There is somebody going through some things that needs to understand that what they are going through is not going to kill them. It's going to make them stronger. A few people heard what I said. The Lord says somebody is going through something. They're going through a situation and they are at the brink of giving up. But the Lord has a message to you or for you this morning that your trials will only make you strong. Look at your neighbor and say, your trials will only make you strong. Praise the Lord. Have you ever been in a situation where you are desperate? You don't have anybody to turn to? You don't know what to do? You have no answer? And you feel like giving up? There are many people in this country. Those that just came and those that have been here, that you wake up sometimes out of bed and you feel like My God, why did I come here in the first place? Sometimes you get into a program and everybody celebrates that you're in that program. Then in the middle of the program, it's like your head is trying to fall out. You speak in tongues, you go to church every Sunday, but yet you are stressed out. You're tried in every night. My God, we went through some trials. Do you have to remember here? Lord have mercy. We went through some. Amen. When you're Jesus Christ and the first person to deny you is Peter, you know that's serious. You are going through a pain, and he's sitting there, and Pontius Pilate is pointing all these questions, and he looks behind for his body, Peter. Peter is afraid of the little girl. He said, I don't know him. Not one time. The first time, Christ said, oh, he has refused me the first time. Let's see if he's going to do the second time. I hope he does not. Boom, second time. And third time, he's okay now by myself. Have you ever been there? When you're going through pain, and the man, let's say you are the apple of my eye, you are the butterfly in the window. You know, when things are going well, the people call you all kind of like, sister, you look so good. Amen. You are the best in town. But when you are going through, I'm not telling you this stuff, when you are going through trials, we do everything to be there. We do everything to follow you. We might not say anything. We might not give you $10. We might not give you $1,000. But those are our presence. In times of tribulation, in times of pain. Look at your neighbor, say trials will only make you strong. Let's go to the book of James. James was the half-brother of Jesus. James was the guy that lived with Jesus. And as a matter of fact, he wrote this book. And he died, he was killed, he was crucified, he was murdered. Let's go to the book of James. And you're going to hear what James say. And I'm like, wow, this is serious. I'll preach about this. But when the Lord gave me this message this morning, I'm like, Lord, help me. James chapter 1. James is in the New Testament. If you can't find it, table of contents will be the best route. James, from verse 1, chapter 1, it says, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. He was writing to the 12 tribes of Israel. He was writing to every believer. They are abroad, that means to every believer that is going through. He was addressing people that are going through a difficult time. Those people that have been despised, those people that have struggled. He was addressing them. This was a unique letter to a unique set of people. This was not to the guys that are doing well, are having aids and encouraged and having a good job and about to graduate. No. This was a category of people that were going through something. And so long as you are living, point number one, so long as you are friends and God, you will go through something. Do I have a good news for you? I don't know if that's good or bad news. But so long as you are flesh and blood, there is something waiting for you when you wake out of bed. There is something. There is, the enemy will do, will tempt you one way or the other. The enemy will try to bring you down. If the enemy does not bring you down at home, he's going to wait for you at work. If he can't bring you down at work, he's going to wait for you at school. If he can't bring you down at school, he's going to wait for you in the church. How many people, you have it all going at school, you have it all thing at home, but in church is not going. You have it all going in church, praise the Lord on Sunday, but when you get into your car, you say, oh, I'm going to that house again. A little girl walked up to me, I can't tell the name, because maybe the parents are not here, maybe you're here. Now everything I see here in these podcasts, I love that. Amen. I don't need radio anymore, but, you know, people carry that around. This little girl walks and says, Pastor, I wish you come stay in our house. I said, don't leave your mommy or your daddy here, because you'll be in problems. It means that sometimes it's going well in one section, It's going well in the office. The enemy will chase you around. How many people are there? The enemy follows you. You say, I thought you were going to be good in church. No, somebody stands up to see you in church. You go to work, they're waiting for you. The one you did all week was a mess. You go home, your husband is telling you don't look good anymore. Those are the people this man was writing to. The children are having well in those. How many people are having children? They are sleeping all around the house. You are tired from them. You want to sleep. John is crying in the other room. Mary is fighting with the other sister. You're like, man, Lord, what did I come here to do? I want to quit. How many people have been there? Oh, yeah. You understand what I'm talking about. The poor faithful. Let's look. Verse 2. He said, my brother, do what? It means the problems are so many. You've got to count them. Count it all up. It is when you step back and you hear the children say, everybody's gossiping, you say, Lord, I'm excited now because why I am important, I know there's a miracle waiting for me. Or you didn't hear what I said. Every time you go through a trial, there is a miracle behind you. Write that down. Every time there is trial, there is a miracle. It's like a dark cloud, there is something behind coming. Every time you are tried, know you are closer to your miracle. There is nothing I have ever received that before the reception, the enemy always brings a challenge. And the enemy is looking for you to quit, for you to drop the ball. You know how many times I've threatened to just close the door? Just lock the door. You come on Sunday and say it's closed. And we say it's closed, we move, but no address. Have you ever seen that? You go to a business, they say they move, but they don't move anywhere. When you stand in prayer, you say, hey, what's going on here? And of course, men will say, we knew it was not going to last. We knew. I knew the way we were going. They're going to shut it down. Why? This one will be open. Amen. Forever, ever. Christ, somebody will be here. Praise the Lord. So, the first point is behind every trial, there is a miracle. But the devil sees that you want to receive something, he will chase you around. He will follow you around. So, James is saying here, brethren, you might not be in your home because there are scattered due to persecutions and the gospel. You might not be at home, but count it all joy. Count it all joy because there is a miracle behind it in your going through. Like the woman who is at 9 months. When you start, when you get to 9 months, you are pregnant, when you're about to receive a child. Reproduction does not come with fun. Can the woman say okay? Hey, nobody is praying, what happened to the baby? You say, no, the left is a little bigger than it used to be. The stomach is a little bit bigger. They put breakfast. The clothes they used to wear, they don't fit anymore. They don't care sometimes about the makeup anymore. They can't bear the child. You hear women in here?
Yes.
Men, you are short of experience on this. You don't need any women on this. But there's something is about the production. When there's a miracle, they have morning call, evening call, afternoon call, they eat at all times. Some of them from Spain, they don't want to hear the sign of German, they don't want to use the English before, they don't want to hear the sign of good thing, whatever that thing is. Because why? They are going through that, but do they give up? Why do they not give up? Because the joy that follows that activity exceeds the pain. Yeah. Oh, this is what I say. Because the joy. And every time you hear some women, when they are pregnant, I don't know why I'm using this example so much, when they go, this is a welcome, I don't have anyone anymore. From experience, I just keep living. You're coming again for the next one. Eh? Yeah. The joy covers the pain. The joy that comes. You see them coming to the baby, the birthday, and everything. You say, oh, my God. Look at the pain they went through. It's a kind of joy. Knowing is if your Bible underlines the word knowing. Knowing is the key. Knowledge. Knowledge of what is behind. Knowing. Because if there is no knowing, you're going to die. If there is no knowing, you're going to quit. A lot of people quit because they don't know what is coming after the trial. They don't know what is behind the pain. They don't know what is behind, what is going on. What is the breakthrough that is behind? He said, knowing that the testing of your faith. Knowing. I'll talk about knowledge here, ability to do. Knowing. You see, there are many of us probably were doing one job or the other. We're in school. You know, they're making $7 an hour. You work nights. It's painful. You love to be in church. You love to be in the choir. But you can't do it because of your schedule. You're not giving up because you know that that's not where you're going to stay. The fact that you know, the fact that the woman understands that she's only a replacement for life, the fact that she understands that this pain is not going to be forever, that gives her the ability to carry the pain. Praise the Lord. So now that you know, and where does the man come? The man comes from this book. The man comes from the word of God. And last week I talked about the word. The man comes from the fact that the Bible says this thing shall come to us. The Bible said, no, I went through the valley of the shadow of death, I go up. So I walk. So maybe I'm going to make our lesson praise there. He said, "Do I walk?" Some people are already giving up. Oh, this is how I'm going to be for the rest of my life. I'm going to be with this pain forever. They accept the defeat. They accept the pain. And that is why you become very sorrowful. You don't become joyful. But I rejoice when I'm going through stuff. Why? Because I know that I'm coming out of it. It's not because pain naturally is a good thing. That's not what James is saying. Triumph is not a good thing. But it is the knowledge that what I am going through is not permanent. Amen? When I was single, one of the things I did most was that I smiled a lot. Because I knew I was not going to stay single. Amen. Can some people say amen? Amen? I didn't feel sorry for myself because if I feel sorry and look doom and gloom, nobody will come to me. What's the matter with Solomon Buckley? You have to open your tongue. Amen. But we all like being single, no. Coming up and cooking and all those stuff, no. But I knew that this was not going to be permanent. I knew that by this time next year, that year I'll go married. I knew that by this time next year, I'll come home to somebody. And that's why I was excited. I said, oh my God, I lived a single life excited. I'll clean my house happy because I knew that one day I'm not going to stay like this. You can see, not only am I married, I have up to 4 children. Amen. 4. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you have seen me. There are some people that have been going through a lot of stuff. Believers. Believers. And there's some believers in this room. He was addressing believers. He was addressing Christians, those who believe in Jesus. He was addressing them. Why? Because when we go through stuff and there's a situation, the people of the Lord are looking for us. So they're looking on us to see how we react. I tell people, the problem is that problems will not come. No, problem will always come. I don't care if you confess it to your head goes up. Problems will. But the difference between you and her is how you handle the problem.
Amen.
There's a difference. One person, they got to them, and they get everybody in town alert. One person said, God bless you. If you knew better, you could not have called my name.
Amen.
You didn't hear what I just said right now? Yeah. Somebody goes to you and said, because I'm a child of God. If you knew better, and there are sometimes people say all kinds of stuff, people bring it up to me and say, Lord, that tells me I need more work. Please do more work. Mm-hmm. Why? Because if you get it, then you will not do it. Jesus on the cross of Calvary said, what? If they had known who they are crucifying, they could not have crucified him. But because they know the Father forgive them. This is the only thing that you can just go around and do people, mess up people's lives and come and say, forgive me and then let you go. No! He said, because you are ignorant. And that is why James says here, he said, count it all joy knowing. The knowledge, he said, my people perish for what? He said, count it all joy. So the things that are some benefits. With trials. Praise the Lord. There are some benefits of trials. There are some things that trials do. There are some things, how many people have toothpaste at home? How many people have toothpaste? And then how do you get it out of the thing? No, you love it. I just love this thing. You never have anything out of it. But how do you get the toothpaste to come out? Some people feel from the top, I have a problem with that. I'm sorry. I'm telling you what happened in my house. I have a problem with squeezing toothpaste from the top. Because you're very disorganized. Can we be a family? And you know, the performance. You know, church people have become perform. They cannot be real. I'm being real. Praise the Lord. The trial, the next point, the first one was what, getting ready to trial, there is what? A miracle. The next thing is trial brings out our real gifts. Trial brings out the real you. And that is why when you meet somebody first, they can be well dressed, they can be well spoken, smell good, looking all organized. Do you know them? And that is why people say, my God, Pastor, I was marrying this brother, he sings in the fire, I didn't know he was that bad. Oh, now you know. What are you going to do? Soon? Try it, bring it out. What do you do when you're going through? Listen to people, even if you have to do business with somebody, listen to them when they are disappointed. Listen to them how they handle frustration. In the moment of trial, every person comes, a Christian we are studying today, true conversion is the fruit of repentance. You can go all around and tell people, and you're just like, put Jesus sticker. Have you ever been caught on the highway by somebody with a Jesus sticker? And they're using these things as I'm going to look behind you, see John 3:16. Some people are wearing a t-shirt, Jesus t-shirt. So try to bring out who you are. And that's why we say, really, time is an umpire. When you give time to anything, do you know what that thing is? Trial is that you plant a seed and it grows, the root comes, and everything. When the root comes and you try that tree, that's when you know if the tree is actually solid or not. Do you know why Jesus used Peter? Peter is the guy that caused Jesus more problems than any other disciple. More, the only person that Jesus called in Scripture, he wasn't calling him, but the Spirit behind him. That be behind him, you know who? Peter. Even in Matthew chapter 4, when he had an encounter with the devil, he never said, get me behind the devil. No. But Peter was a guy that Jesus could trust. Why? Because there were three occasions that the real Peter came out. After Jesus died, how many disciples are mentioned in the Bible? Very few. Very few. Where is the rest? As a matter of fact, Jesus had 70 disciples. And what happened? He said one word. What happened to the rest? They disappeared. 12 stayed. But among the 12, you had Judah, right? If Judah had not killed himself, Judah could have been one of the people Jesus could have used. Because Jesus was very close to Jesus, and Jesus knew him much. And I'm believing that Jesus was doing some things, and Christ kept telling him, hey, you got to repent. And he kept doing them. Amen? But at times, trial brings out. I tell people when you're involved in a relationship, don't just spend all time going and walking in the park and doing all these good things to the movie. Movie does not bring out the real person. Tell them you're going to show up and don't show up. You hear that phone call and nothing will leave you. Then you know what you're getting into. trial will bring out. And the toothpaste you talk about, when you squeeze it, that's when it comes out. There are people that will say, I am a Christian, but Lord, there is a situation. And that is one of the things that the enemy is using. There are people that have said, I cannot come to this church. Why? Because this member of this church is not living right. They are simply saying, we are seeing the root, it does not match what they say. Amen? So, you know, sometimes you don't need to carry the Bible and hit people's head. Chop the knife. Chop the knife. Chop the knife. And all of a sudden, you're like, wow, why is so nice? Then at that point, God gives you an opening. But not that you say, my God, if not that I'm a Christian, I could have told you something. You have already spoken inside. If I was not, the reason why I can't speak to you, I cannot curse you out, is because I am the Holy Ghost. You don't know that. Just don't curse. You know, what is wrong with you? You are not cursing like everybody else. Then at that point, you have an opening to share the word of God. Amen? The next thing he says here is that, try it. Bring the best of us. It enables us to know who we are. It enables us to know our ability. Amen? You see, you can study all you study. Pass the certification is when you stand in front of a person. Then you put the needle instead of getting into the vein, getting somewhere else. The ring will come out. And sometimes when trial comes, you didn't know you could pray. But when you learn something wrong in you, my God, I've seen people, I never believed they could pray. God, in the midst of that trouble, they begin to pray. They didn't even believe they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. The trouble came. And they began to pray. They find themselves speaking in that language, which they thought they didn't even believe they had it. So the next thing is that trial brings the best of you out, and it makes you know who you are. Amen? Right? Praise the Lord. Who's the trial? Let's go to the Bible, to the book of Acts, chapter 5, and verse 41. Acts chapter 5. Quick, we're going to round up here. Our time was fast spent. The book of Acts, chapter 5. Sorry, we've been a little bit after 12, but we're good. This is the story where Peter was so filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says there from verse 1 that as Peter goes by, just his shadow was healing people. And after he was doing this, he was so annoyed that life was good, and out of a sudden, Tyre came. He was landed in jail. And after verse 41, so they departed from the presence of the council. They went and they arrested them, they took them to the council. Then the Bible says they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. That they were counted, and then they rejoiced for the fact that they could lay down their life for the sake of the gospel. So what happened to us when we come into the church and there's little persecution or little name calling? What happened? We leave. But Peter is saying, because we count it worthy to suffer for him, verse 42 says, daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching. The trials and tribulations did not stop them from preaching and from fellowshipping with one another. Because the time you need people more is what you are going through. The time you need the church more is when you're going to. Let's read another scripture. Second Peter. We're going to round up with that. Second Peter. Chapter 1. Please write this scripture down. You can read them by your own time. Second Peter. Chapter 1 and verse 5. He said that also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love, For if these things are known and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted and even blinded and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Purged! Trials, difficulties. And you are afraid of trials. Remember Job? How many of you remember Job? My God. He went through all kinds of stuff. He had all the money. He had everything. He was believing. Oh, last thing before I explain. The last thing is, trials will take you away from self-righteousness to depending on God. When you are tried, it will break away or destroy self-righteousness. You know, many times people say, because I pray, because I tithe, because I do it, that is why things are not happening to me. And you are tempted to begin to think that those who are going through stuff is because they don't pray as they pray. That's a lie. So the last thing is, trials will take away self-righteousness. And that's what happened to Job. Job had self-righteousness. What happened is that when he made the party, when the children organized the party, the mama reports that after that party, where will he do? He will sacrifice to cleanse the jaws and the bones and all that. But then he went through all that he went through. You want them to read Job chapter 1, 22, and 23? He went through difficulties and he decided when the Lord told him, he said, Job, curse this God that you believe so much in and die. Leave his presence. Don't try the native doctor because God is not working anymore. God said, don't say what? I prefer to curse the day that I was born than to curse my God. Paul spoke speaking to the Roman church. He said, neither death, neither life, neither principality, neither power, not anything, nothing can separate me from the love of God. There is nothing that you can do. Not trial, but another attack. Trials make us strong. It gives us a reason to believe in our God. Difficult situations, we're not perfect, but when we come, that's when we see our God. And last but not least, if you're not in darkness, will you appreciate the light? No. But when you're being in darkness, when you have been tried, and then when somebody is going through, you have a better authority to advise them. When you are going through, and you meet somebody that has gone through, the way they will comfort you will be different from somebody who read it in a book. And that is why some of those old midwives that never went to any school, they're not away to deliver babies. That even today, we don't have books we cannot. They know exactly that when a child is talking, just lift the child up and tap the bottom and the thing will come out. And when they run, they do that scandal, they do that scandal, they do all kinds of things. But that grandma is just up. So that is the uniform. I heard a grandfather who passed away. When I have cold, I walk, she just go out there, say, don't worry about it, get something and give me, I just rub it and leave it, and she will not be bothered. If the thing doesn't want to go, you've got to boil some stuff, put them in the pot, put me in there, like it or not. Call me. I'll come out slowly. The minute I'm out. No biology, no microbiology, no. They are important. They are good. But she didn't have any. No medication, no. She was 100 and something. No, nothing going. Because she had gone through. Amen. But before, by going through, sometimes when you are going through, you become creative. Trial brings out creativity. I'm going to be completing this next week. Trial brings out a lot. It shows you when you're vulnerable. Because sometimes you think that, oh, this is my friend. But I'm supposed to try to say, oh, I got to be cautious now. Amen. So we have this thing that when we come to church, when we come to America, my God, everything will be okay. So you get here and live with somebody, they're soon going to begin to tell you, that is happening, like, is it really?
that we set up.
Amen.
Trial. It's making us stronger. It's making me stronger. We're going to pray this morning. I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe it was not for you, but it was for somebody. Maybe did you know that the Lord has planned? The Lord had a plan for you this morning. Maybe you just came today. I thought you have not come for a long time. And you are facing a major trial, a major decision. You are about to quit. You are about to throw the towel. You are like, Lord, what am I going through? It's like somebody goes to the gym to lose weight. It's not a lovely activity. But after you finish, you look good. You feel good. I want to pray for that person this morning that maybe you're going through some stuff. You don't need to come out. I don't need you to come out. But you're going through some stuff. And you're like, Lord, can I see that light that is behind this darkness? Can I see the light? Maybe you look for a job and everywhere you work is trouble. I said, Lord, will I ever find the right job? I want to pray with you this evening. I want to pray with you. I want to agree with you. My faith and your faith will move our God. I just want you to put your hand on your chest as I pray. The Lord is saying, I understand. Even though you are in that valley, I'm with you. You may not see me, but I'm there. The little grace that you think you have, I gave you. I understand where you are. I'm only praying I'm with you. Not long from now, we'll be coming out, and everybody's going to celebrate you. But if you can hang in there with me, cooperate with me. Don't cooperate with the enemy. Cooperate with me. Because this trial is producing good. We are almost at the finish line. I don't know who I'm talking to. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just commit your children into your hands. As they're standing up with their hands on their chest, their heads bowed. And Lord, I pray that you just stretch out your hands right now. Right now, oh God, that you're big things, that you're big things. Just stretch it right now. And let them see that hand, that invisible hand that does things, that invisible hand that comes in when we're about to fall. Lord, just let them see. Let somebody see your hand. And lean on that hand for confidence. And lean on that hand for support. And lean on that hand for strength. And lean on that hand for support. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, you have done it before. And we believe that you do it again today. You have done it before, for God, and you can come again. They need your help. He said, Lord, come unto the throne of grace in time of need, that we may obtain mercy and favor. We need your favor. This community needs your favor. These people need your favor. In the name of Jesus. Father, give them a reason to continue fighting. Give them a reason to continue hoping. Give them a reason to continue praying. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Because we have faith in you. You see, we have faith like a monster seed. We have faith more than a monster seed. I pray that those mountains, those obstacles, those things that scare them at night, those things that get them worried, I ask you, Lord, that you take it away. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, because not very long from now will be time of celebration, will be time of joy, will be time of testimony. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I cover your children this afternoon with the blood of Jesus. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus, somebody this afternoon. Amen. You can receive it briefly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please, we love you, Lord. We have the invitation. We have the invitation, and we have soft copy. The brother that produced this invitation, God bless you, so he's not here today. But what we're trying to do is we're going to give you the hard copy, and if you need soft copy, we're going to give you, he's going to send it to you. The reason for soft copy is that when you email it to somebody, if they misplace the physical invitation, on the day of the event, they can quickly open their email, and they're going to see the address, and they're going to come. Amen? Secondly, what I want you to do, please, the more effort we put into this program, the better and we will be.
Don't give somebody an invitation without taking their number if you don't have their number. Is somebody listening to me? But to give somebody an invitation, get their number and ask them, do you mind if I call you on Friday the 26th to remind you about the program? Are you listening to what I'm explaining? Please. If you give an invitation, if I give an invitation, I say, please, do you mind giving me your number? And of course, if they think your invitation, 90% of the time, they'll give you their number. The next question, sir or ma'am, can I call you to remind you if you don't mind? And they'll say yes, and on Friday, you call them. Amen? Let them know the link. The person, Sister Kenneth, I think she's in the Sunday school. The person that shares the most of the invitation and bring a list of at least 10 people that are going to show up. We have a gift. Praise the Lord. And you better fight for that gift, because if you don't fight for the gift, you're going to give me a gift. Yeah, because you cannot go out in there, I have everything, I don't need to give. No, you're going to bring me a gift. Amen? So get out, get your number. After service, instead of going home to watch TV, go visit somebody and tell them about this program. Tell them about this program, because we want this place to be jam-packed. We have our pastor, Pastor Uche, that we're still working to see. He just got into the council yesterday. By the grace of God, if we can get him here, wonderful. By the Holy Spirit, I hope it all will be here. Praise the Lord. If anybody else, the Holy Spirit will be here, and we'll be here, of course. We love ourselves. Praise the Lord. And to be.
Thank you. Sunday. We do the prayers first. I remember I announced it last week. We just do the prayers first that God should come. Ready for it. I know how hard it is to be capable. We pray the Lord to bless you and the water. Lord, I pray for the children and you be a mother to us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this day and the blood of Jesus.
That's why the Bible says be prepared at all times and pray in season and out of season. But you never know when you'll be called, and it's always a privilege for me to come here. And I thank Pastor Sam for this message. I just give God the glory for this message, because the message in season for everybody, because you're either on your way into a trial, in a trial, or just on your way out. And the next one is right around the corner. So, Father, I just pray that everyone who's here, who was here, who was listening, this word would take root. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Lord Jehovah, we give you praise. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Sam. I thank you for Regina. I thank you for his helpmeet. I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for all the faithful servants. I thank you for everyone who comes here and sits under the word and the unction of this ministry, oh mighty Father. Lord, I thank you for your word that has gone forth this morning, and I call every ground, every listening ear, I call it good ground. Father, Lord God, I begin to rebuke the birds of the air that they will not steal this seed, and I begin to curse, Father, Lord God, the cares of this world, and that they will not be the thorns that will choke out this word before it has time to bear fruit. But I decree that every listening ear will bear 30, 50, and 100-fold. Lord, I thank you that every ear that was listening, there shall be no quitters. That no one who listened and who heard this word, and who would even hear the word after, who is not present, will give up, and that faith will not fail. That there will be no one who will faint in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you will strengthen everyone in the inner man. That there will be strengthened in the inner man. Father God, that they will bear up their hands that hang low. They will lift up those hands that hang low. And they will strengthen every feeble knee and be encouraged in the Lord and stand strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is able. That is what our Lord God, we should count it all joy, as the word says, when we encounter diverse trials. For the trial of our faith worketh patience. And when faith has had its full work, it will give us, lead us unto perfection. That faith trials will lead us unto patience, which will lead us to perfection. Lord, I thank you that everyone who walks in this ministry, Father Lord God, is led unto perfection. They grow from glory to glory. And that when the Lord tries to the refiner's fire, they shall come up pure as gold. They shall come up pure as gold. We begin to pray, Almighty God, that the fire which is trying us right now is burning up the impurities, and we emerge tried as gold. Father, I give you praise. I give you praise for Pastor Sam and all the music ministers. And you fill them anew. That as virtue has gone out of them, has proceeded out of them, you refill them, Father Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord, I pray for all those who are grieving that you strengthen and you comfort them as we have prayed. Lord, I pray for the offering, that everyone who has given in faith, everyone who has not even had to give, Lord, I thank you, Father Lord God, that they, you who give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, Father Lord, you restore and replenish them 60 and 100-fold in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, oh Father God, that as we go today, we go in this dynamite, Father, that will be episodes ready. during our prayer time and only in Sunday, that as Pastor Sam said, will be nice, but above all, for our Lord God, in our niceness, it will not be a niceness. The word will come forth and bear fruit in our lives for all to see. Lord, I thank you for growth, I thank you for increase, and I thank you, Almighty God, that Father, Lord God, that you who give good things, Father, Lord God, who will never lack good things. Father, I thank you and I give you praise. God, I say as we go home to our back to our homes, our respective homes, Father, that you go with us. Angels, bear us up. Let's we dash our foot against the stone. And I say, Father, Lord, the blood of Jesus covers. And Father, Lord God, we give you praise and we give you glory until we come next time for our fellowship. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'd like us to pray for one person before we share the grace. Amen. I stood back there during praise and worship. I didn't know Auntie Irene was here. And I heard in my spirit pray for her. I'm wrestling in my spirit. I said, Auntie Irene is not coming to church today. And right away, God opened my eyes. I turned to my right, my left, and there was Auntie Irene. So there is a reason for us to pray for Auntie Irene today. Auntie Irene, can you come forward? And then I'll tell you why, well, what the Holy Ghost laid in my heart for us to pray for you. And I need two powerful women of God to stand behind Auntie Irene. Sister Elna be one of them. She's ready in season and out of season. Sister V. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is what I heard before all these witnesses. You are in the valley of decision. Decision number one, return to God. And he will take care of all those other decisions. You are in the valley of many, 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 many decisions. And we're going to pray that God is going to give you the wisdom as you go through. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. But decision number one is for you to reconnect with God. Until that is established. So we're going to give you an opportunity right now to accept Jesus or to reconnect with him so that you can hear him loud and clear. And the decision is yours. Amen. Amen. Let us pray for Auntie Irene. There's a reason why she's here today. Amen. God is always an on-time God. And we believe that from this day forward, Auntie Irene's life will never be the same again. I am not sure what she's going through, but what I know for sure is that she's going through something and she's going to come out on the other side stronger. Stronger than she got into it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, stretch forth your hands and let us pray for this woman of God. Let us pray for this child of God. The enemy has decided to see her as weak, but the God we share has rescued her. It will not be so in the name of Jesus. It will not be so in the name of Jesus. Wondering what next? The Bible says your latter days will be better than your former days, and that the best is yet to come for you and your family. In the mighty name of Jesus, all you have to do is to reconnect. All you have to do is accept Him as your Lord and Savior, more than you have ever done before. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, we thank you because you are doing it for your own name's sake. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Satan, we command you right now to take off your hands from her life, from her children's life, from her husband's life, from her family's life. In the name of Jesus, every seed of the enemy in this life we uproot right now. Every blood of the enemy concerning her and her family, we begin to cast off in the name of Jesus. On the wall concerning her. Every handwriting of failure, we refresh our saying it will be shattered in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every spiritual battle that is taking place right now, you are a winner. We declare that the battle is won in the name of Jesus. The battle is won in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We will hear the testimony soon. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but that's a big testimony for all I know. Amen. Okay, let us share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Grab somebody. Grab somebody and look at them into their eyes. Hallelujah. Look at them into their eyes and say, you are blessed. Say it like you mean it. You are blessed. Thank you.